from Dangar's Gorge, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, there is some big news from here at GCN on our future. We will let you know what it means for us and, more importantly, what it means for you.
Plus, the cycling shoe dials heading into space with NASA, an update on Leo Wilcox's round the world record attempt, and Si explaining why he's got a black eye. Was it road rage?
No, that wasn't road
rage. People hating cyclists?
No. Well, not people hating this cyclist.
Did you have a gnarly crash?
No. No, I didn't have a gnarly crash.
Is it a local HGV driver that saw you in the street?
Can I just tell them later?
Okay. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that Mark the Manx Missile Cavendish is now Sir Mark Cavendish, having received that award at the King's Birthday Honours last week.
Yeah, which means he will be the first knight ever to ride the Tour de France. Begging the question, I think, as to whether or not he'll arrive at the team's presentation next Thursday on a horse.
In shiny armour, yeah. Presumably. In all seriousness, congratulations to Sir Mark. He was awarded that for services to cycling and for his charity work.
He can retire now. He doesn't even need to race the Tour, does he? Sir Mark?
He's got to.
Well, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. Right, we also learned that we need to update our video on how to get rid of a wheel sucker.
Go to the front, I fuck you!
That was from last week's Tour of Slovenia, which is part of the full season of racing that you can watch live on Discovery+. I mean, that was a direct approach, wasn't it? Please go to the front or I'll just drop you.
Yeah, did he come through, do a turn in the end?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
He didn't.
Well, did he drop him then?
He didn't do that either, no. Oh. But maybe he does need to watch our video on how to drop wheel suckers then. Top advice in that video for any level of rider.
Yeah, although actually we don't need it anymore.
No.
Do we, really? Right, now we have got some big news for you this week, as we mentioned, for us and for you as well. We know that many of you are still mourning the loss of the GCN Plus films and documentaries that we made, and in the very near future, they will be coming back, and the reason why is even more exciting than that.
It is. So GCN and our sister channels across the world, and the mountain bike and triathlon channels too, are now independent once again.
Yeah, which is scary, but it is very, very good.
Yes, Warner Brothers Discovery are busy going head-to-head with the likes of Netflix, Amazon, Apple and the like. So their strategy is, as we said a few months back, to consolidate everything gradually onto one big platform.
Yeah, which is probably the right thing to do for the majority of people. But heading our separate ways allows us to focus on delivering more for you. So the cyclists, the bike riders, the bike fans, frankly, it's great news for us and you as GCN viewers too.
Why? What does it actually mean? Well, honestly, to you guys, the core of what we do and have always done remains the same, which is to say, making the best cycling videos that we can, that entertain...
Hopefully.
That hopefully entertain, inspire...
Hopefully, yeah. Okay, and inform.
Yes, hopefully entertain, inspire, and inform.
Yep.
Basically, our videos, which continue to go from strength to strength, will only get better from here.
Yeah. I mean, the last few years have seen unimaginable change here at GCN. And with it, we did things that we're really proud of, aren't we? However, we were also unable to develop and evolve in other ways, which is what comes next.
Mm. So with our regained independence, we are now liberated to get back to basics, get creative, have fun, and explore other avenues again, as directed by you, the people who empower and enable us to continue doing what we love.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this has always been about you, the GCN community.
Exactly, yeah. We've said that since the very start, haven't we? We are nothing without you. So this next phase is all about giving you more of what you want.
Except for streaming live bike racing, because we can't do that.
No, yeah. No. And we're sorry to say also that the GCN website is closing, which we are really sad about, not least because it was really bloody good, wasn't it?
It was really bloody good.
Even if I do say so myself.
Yeah, the web team did an amazing job. They very quickly turned it into one of the biggest cycling websites on the planet. And it's a blow to lose the website itself, but it's a massive blow to lose some incredibly passionate colleagues as well.
It is. But to reiterate, what you've always known GCN for, i.e. the video content, is not going anywhere. And Si and I are not going anywhere either.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's a good thing.
It's good for us. It's good for you and me, isn't it? And as mentioned, all those incredible GCN Plus documentaries, which have kind of been gathering dust on a shelf somewhere.
Are they digital?
Gathering computer dust on a hard drive somewhere on a shelf.
On a shelf, yes.
Anyway, they will be available to view again.
Yes. So in order to do that, we're launching a membership scheme right here on YouTube, which is a way of you lot being able to support GCN directly on this next part of the ride.
We will let you know full details very soon. But one of the membership levels is going to allow you to watch our library of GCN Plus films and also, over time, some new ones, which were in production, but which we hadn't quite been able to finish.
That's right. Bikepacking in the Peruvian Andes with Connor and cycling legend Greg Van Avermaet. Hell yes.
Season 2 of World Tour to Cat 4.
Yes, please. Now, we won't be releasing them as normal GCN videos, because as we quickly discovered when we started making GCN originals, doubling the length and quality of a video actually requires about 8 times more work and resource, basically, to make.
Yes, who knew?
Well, yeah.
Now, we hope that over the last 11 years or so, you've loved, appreciated and valued what GCN has done, or at least tried to do for cycling. And we want to do more of it for another 10 years and beyond that. But we would love and appreciate your help as well. As we said at the start, this is super exciting, but it is also quite daunting as well.
It is. The future of GCN is in our hands again. That's you and us here as well. So we want to hear from you, basically. What would you most like to see from us?
Let us know in the comments what you think. And any avenues you'd like to see explored, be that, I don't know, podcasts or new documentaries, racing analysis, or
Dan's OnlyFans?
It does have a certain ring to it, actually, Dan's OnlyFans. Although I have tried launching an OnlyFans account and it didn't work.
Oh, really? Why is that?
It was a flop.
What was a flop? Don't go there. It's just not what OnlyFans subscribers are looking for.
No, it seems not. No. Seems not from my experience. Anyway. Yeah.
There was also presumably the not inconsiderable question over your nipples as well.
Yes, on that subject, episode 3 coming out shortly. Right, please get involved in the comment section down below with your thoughts and ideas for the future of GCN. We will be reading every single one of them and making notes and using that as next step guide to what we do next.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with news of cycling shoes.
Sidi Cycling Shoes, an Italian brand's dial system, is going to be used by NASA on the SpaceX Crew 8 mission, which is part of a project to mitigate the effects of microgravity on the human body in the absence of gravity.
Wowzers. So apparently 4 crew members will be heading to the International Space Station for 6 months to conduct a variety of experiments in what is called Expedition 71.
Ooh, quite the coup for Sidi, that.
It is, isn't it? I'm not sure what it says about their cycling shoes, but still, as you say, a coup, nevertheless. Yes. Wow. By the way, that voice, was that a nod to the Sidi cycling adverts from 20 years ago?
I thought that was pretty clear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was a great impression.
A couple of us definitely noticed.
Okay, right, so we transition back down to Earth then,
yes,
from space, by updating you on the Gladiator giant and his quest to do a 100-kilometre ride.
Yeah. We'll cut to the chase, won't we? Our friendly superhuman, Jamie Christian, nailed his 100-kilometre goal in 4.5 hours, which is a bloody good effort, isn't it, really, when there's 1,000 metres of climbing and you weigh 130 kilos, was it? Something like that. His new Pinarello must have helped.
Oh, is that what it was?
Well,
I saw that stealth bike, but I didn't look closely.
Yeah, he rented a Pinarello out in Mallorca. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? You could fit 2 Valentin Paris pants into giant, so to speak.
More than 2, I guess. Isn't
2.5,
how
yeah.
big is it? 2.5. Wowzers.
I think Valentin Paris-Pant is just over 50 kilos. I was also working out that it would be basically like us doing that ride with a Valentin Paris-Pant on our back.
Oh,
sounds hard, doesn't it?
Oh, that sounds... Imagine that. Give yourself on a piggyback for 100 kilometres. Oh. Wowzers. Yeah, that would be tough, wouldn't it? We've also been doing some calculations as well.
Oh, we have, yeah. So we worked out that if Giant would like to keep up with Vignegor and Pegatra in the mountains by sustaining 6.5 watts per kilo, he'd have to do 850 watts. This puts it into perspective, doesn't
it? As in, like, 850 watts for an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Wowzers. That's a big ask, isn't it? Right. From one giant to another now. Should we just say congratulations to Jamie, by the way?
Congrats.
Proper cool. Yeah. Right. From one giant to another now, as the world record for the tallest bike has just been broken. It was designed and made by two Frenchmen, Nicolas Barrios and David Peyrou.
Oh, I'm glad you did those names. It's been nicknamed Starbike and it's 7.77 metres tall, which meant it broke the previous record by 36 centimetres.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, it looks frightening, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
There's no way you catch me trying to get on that, let alone ride it.
Yeah, that is quite the fall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not even from grace. In your case.
Oh,
as well,
thank you very much.
I don't know why, but still. Right, speaking of falls, helmet use hit the headlines last week. Firstly, the chef, Gordon Ramsay, a keen cyclist, put out a plea to everyone to always wear a helmet after a nasty crash left him with a huge bruise down his left-hand side.
Really nasty looking.
Yeah, it does look bad, doesn't it? Yeah.
And then, as reported on The Guardian yesterday, Dutch cyclists are now being encouraged by the government to wear helmets due to an increasing number of serious injuries reported in recent years.
Yeah, so this is a big thing, isn't it, in the Netherlands? A big U-turn, because the Netherlands is renowned for its cycling infrastructure and the enormous number of everyday journeys done by bike, almost all of which are done without a helmet.
Exactly, yes.
With very few accidents.
Very few in the overall scheme of things. I think they know they need to tread carefully on this because obviously the last thing that they want to do is put up any sorts of barriers to entry into cycling in the first place, or to discourage it in any way with worrying statistics. Now, I know a lot of you watching this have very strong views on helmet use, and whatever those views are, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this develops in the Netherlands over the next few years.
It will be, won't it? Absolutely. Now, I don't think they could dissuade people from cycling in the Netherlands. It's just like, it's almost gone too far, isn't it? It's like trying to dissuade people from driving cars in other countries, like here or in the US. It's like it's almost that part of everyday life. Everything's geared up for it.
That's a bit depressing. It makes it sound like we're never going to dissuade people from driving onto bikes in our countries.
Well, I mean, we've got a job to do, haven't we?
Well, certainly, yeah.
But anyway.
Well, let's hope that the Netherlands doesn't do the job in the other direction.
Yeah. Can't imagine that. Hopefully not. Right. An update on Lael Wilcox now. She is currently trying to be the fastest woman to ride around the world, isn't she? And she's in Croatia as we record this and well on her way to Bosnia and Herzegovina. So far, she is 6,500 kilometres into her round the world trip, meaning that she's averaged 296 kilometres per day, which is around 185 miles.
Well on schedule then.
Yeah.
I think. And now over a third of the way through her journey. Impressive stuff. No news on expensive brass this week.
Did no one comment on that?
I think somebody said that they'd found a more expensive one.
Oh, really?
Or knew of one. Yes. But instead, something now at the other end of the spectrum, Lidl's own brand bleach.
Well, we hope that's not what's inside these bottles on the new unreleased Trek bike. But it really does look like they're carrying detergent bottles, doesn't it? Or like some kind of toilet cleaner or something like that. In fact, I found one in our local supermarket that looks very much like that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Top investigative journalist work there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just happened to be in that section of the supermarket.
They do look, I mean, they are different to normal bottles. They're clearly aerodynamic, these new ones, aren't they? But I can't help but think that they'd be annoying, as in they don't have the flat bottom, so tricky to store when they're not on your bike.
That's a good point, actually, isn't it? How would you lie it down?
Well, we'd struggle to display them in the background of a shot, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Great for getting to hard-to-reach parts of your toilet there, getting under the rim. Right, now last week, Zwift set out to shake up indoor training once again, this time with their Zwift Ride, which is an indoor bike, which you got to say, sells for a fraction of the price of other smart bikes.
Clever bit of kit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Utilising recent tech developments like the Zwift Play remote shifters and controls, the Zwift Cog, which is an electronic gear system, and it's mounted to a Wahoo Kicker core.
Yeah, basically, it means that Zwift were able to work to simplify the ride, the bike, as much as possible, meaning that it is easy to set up. I mean, it really is easy to set up, isn't it? Because Hank managed it.
With instructions, though, as we'll get onto later.
Yeah, that is true, yeah, uncharacteristically. And it's easy to use as well, plus it looks slick. And its retail price is $1,299, or is it $1,299? €1,299 or £1,199, which in the world of smart bikes, as we say, is pretty good going, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, we'll finish Cycling Shorts with a brand new giveaway, courtesy of Tripeak, who are ceramic specialists that design and manufacture high-quality bearings.
Yeah, on offer are five Tripeak asymmetric oversized pulley wheels, okay? So in order to put yourself in with a chance, all you need to do is click on the link that we'll leave in the description down below and answer the question, what does AOPW stand for?
There is a clue there, if you need it, on the entry form. Right, entries will close at 10 a.m. BST, Friday the 28th of June. So you've got around 10 days to get involved.
Did your watch tell you that, did it?
Well, it's got the date on it. 17th as we record this, 18th as it goes out, 10 days' time.
Boom. Before we move on too far, actually, can we just say, one of the ways in which you lot have been supporting GCN over the years already is via the GCN shop. So we should probably point out that we've got some funky new T-shirts going on.
In case people hadn't seen that we've got brand new T-shirts. Part of a huge collection to celebrate the biggest race that's upcoming in France in just 10 days' time. There are about 25 different designs over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com, plus a couple of hoodies, as a special edition GCN Camelback water bottle, and a French-themed mug as well.
Wow, there we go.
There's plenty to choose from. As Si said, we hugely appreciate all of you already who've made purchases over the last 10 years, without which we'd have struggled to carry on doing what we're doing. If you'd like the look of anything, please head over to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
I've got a light green hoodie with LALALA written on it from last year, and it is one of my favourite hoodies that I've got. Yeah, genuinely. So I'm quite...
Presumably it's hugely creased everywhere.
It's more that, like, because I wear it so much, it picks up stains, so it looks a bit gruffy.
Creased and stained.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the creases have been worn out now. It's more just that, like, you know, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
We're going to start hack/bodge of the week with an update from last week's show, which was sent in to us by Ryan Brink. You remember it's the modern downtube shifter, revisited this week. So Ryan says, I messed up in my description. This is my co-worker's bike. This is his usual single-speed cyclocross bike. I wrote one by last time. So he does single-speed cyclocross and a handful of gravel rides in the same frame. The bike was already set up as a single-speed CX machine with hydro disc brakes when he started doing gravel races. So to avoid buying new shifters, he simply takes his rear derailleur and shifter off his mountain bike, throws them on this rig along with the wheel with cassette and the longer chain. My bad for the mix-up.
Well, thank you very much for the update, Ryan. I mean, I sort of almost feel like this could be a weekly segment.
Well, it Ryan could be, because I'm still confused. Well, I'm starting to feel dumber as the weeks pass.
Well, no, you see, this still begs the question, right? I get why he's put this equipment on his bike. That totally makes sense. But it doesn't explain why you've stuck the shifter on your down tube. It's a mountain bike shifter. It's designed to go on a handlebar. Why don't you just stick it on the end of one of the drops? Because then you don't have to reach to your down tube to change gear. I'm sorry, Ryan. It's a bodge, isn't it?
I almost feel like I don't understand it enough to really give a judgment on this.
Stick it on handlebars. Down tube shifters, and I hate to say this because I know there's going to be some down tube aficionados here, but they're rubbish. Like, they really are. Yeah. Like, down tube shifters are rubbish. There was a reason why that tech got superseded. Yeah. I mean, it does change gear.
Imagine Tour de France group bunch sprints now with down tube shifters. How chaotic that would be.
Yeah.
My goodness. Anyway, I reckon we would have got to the bottom of this by Christmas.
Yeah, keep them coming, Ryan. We want to hear from you in time for next week, please. Right then, moving on.
This one is a man freshie. In the middle, Ryan, who'd go back to his co-worker. Can you just explain it a bit more and I'll send it back to them?
Hey, this is Ryan's co-worker. We don't even know your name, I'm afraid. Person with a single-speed bike and a down-tube shifter for the weekend. Anyway, right, come on, yeah, let's move on to Yuri Lamote. Helmet bees. God, that sounds painful, doesn't it? My dad is allergic to bees. So at 4 a.m, he superglued some strange netting onto the front vents of his helmet, but left many holes in it that a bee couldn't exploit. I mean, that looks pretty rude, doesn't it? It looks like a Darth Vader lid, doesn't it?
Although
that's a Von Liesel.
But notice there are a few holes still in the helmet that I think a bee could infiltrate.
Yes, I mean, maybe not a big bee, but certainly a determined little bee.
There's nothing worse than getting a wasp or a bee through your helmet vent, is there? So well, if you're allergic to them, I can completely understand this. And I think he's done a decent job.
I think he has, yeah. In fact, the last time I got stung by a bee, which mercifully was about 20 years ago, it got caught in my helmet strap.
Really?
Yeah, I got caught. My ear's quite large, and it got caught in the helmet strap, and then like just proceeded to sting me on the ear repeatedly.
Never got one in your sock, have you? No getting in there. No matter how small you are.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that. Yes, it's true. I can say hack. It's nicely done. Colour coordinated with your lid.
I think if you can do anything that makes your helmet look that stealth and that mean, it's got to be a hack.
Yeah, as well as stopping well as bees functional. Going in. Yeah, no, that's cool. Well done,
I'll go hack
Yuri.
As well.
Yep.
Next up from @cyclist_167971, trimming zip ties. Saw this on YouTube, so can't claim this one, but I had to share with you. Stop zip ties from giving you major lacerations by trimming them back with nail clippers. Tried this the other day, and it really does work.
Well, that is good. Because most of the offending bit of zip tie is indeed removed by trimming the end with nail clippers. Mm. It's neat, but I will admit, like, if you're gonna have a zip tie in a permanent place, at least do that.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, a zip tie in a permanent position is still a bodge, isn't it?
Well, not if it's to put a gear shift on a down tube.
Yeah, that's just a hack. And you know what? I seem to remember someone shared something with me on Instagram that showed that zip ties were being used by NASA in like their space rockets and
don't
stuff.
Don't tell Sidi this.
Well, I mean, yeah. Now we talk about it, it does seem remarkably familiar. So yeah, used by NASA, not only Sidi shoe closers, but also zip ties in permanent positions. So
and elastic bands.
Yeah, maybe that means the zip ties are great and I'm mistaken. Maybe it means that NASA are basically just winging it. Mm. It's probably gaffer tape up there as well in orbit.
I hope they know how to clip them off with nail clippers to avoid injury and lacerations.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, this one from Ixadirth1. Wall stool charging station for Bob Beauty. Since my electric group set, power pedals, Garmin and lights are all rechargeable, I need a safe spot to park Bob Beauty. It made sense to add convenient charging. This station has all the charging cables consolidated into two main cables and then split out to sub-cables to keep them organised and tidy with heat-shrunk tips. I really like the aluminium Garmin mounts I screwed into the bike mount to hold my Garmin in front light. Took a bit of planning. Maybe not so interesting, but under the station is my waxing setup where I use a carbon head tube spacer and brake cable to hold my two chains.
I like it. I like the next line. I was freaked out about waxing, but now it's like descending. It's technically easy as long as you pay attention. There you go. Why? First question, right? So here is a utterly drop-dead gorgeous Pinarello Dogma F, by the look of it, hanging up. But why have you nicknamed it Bob Beauty?
Yeah.
Like what? Well, I don't understand that. There's also, we should say, a pair of Sidi shoes hanging up in the background as well. NASA-esque closures. Nothing but the best for Bob Beauty. I mean, it's very cool, isn't it? Like, you got to say, that is super neat.
Yeah. I wish I had this much time on my hands.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're putting it down to, you're too busy. Yeah, I mean, I would do that, but I'm really busy. Yeah. Like, I've got bike races to watch, and then I've got more bike races to watch.
Yeah, I've got to pull up.
Otherwise, yeah, I'll be all over this kind of stuff. I think that's wicked. What a hack.
I'm only jealous, really. My garage is in a state currently where one of those things that I take a step into it with the intent of starting to tidy, and I look at it and I just think, I don't even know where to start, so no. I'm not going to bother.
I sometimes think that when it comes to like garages, bike storage, that kind of thing, that you can be too emotionally invested, and actually you need a third party in there to be like, do you actually need this piece of junk? From 20 years ago, and you'd be like,
I mean, we talked about this before, haven't we? I've got so much stuff that isn't junk. That's the problem. I know that there'd be someone out there where they'd say, that is what I need, and that's what I've been looking for the last few months.
People have remained resolutely quiet on our collection of 11-speed Campagnolo cassettes. You know,
Super record
cassettes, yeah. No one's ever shouted up in the comments, have they, that they want your old Super Record cassette?
I think it might have been
1123. 1123, guys.
Yeah. Well, they're not free, by the way. Otherwise, everyone would be piping out, wouldn't they?
Maybe just charging too high a price for it. Anyway, there we go. We should say, by the way, that the Fandango with the uploader is going to begin again very briefly, isn't it? Whilst we transition from having a website to not having a website. So bear with us. Keep those hacks and bodges stored up if you can't send them to us over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
But yeah, we apologise for the
time
being.
We'll be back with them as soon as we possibly can, which hopefully won't be too long.
Indeed. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We'll pick the best out next week. Results time first, though. Who is going to be the lucky recipient?
Well, I will let you know very shortly. But first up, this was the photo from last week, which is at the start line of the Criterium du Dauphiné. Giulio Ciccone looking down at Primoz Roglic's shoes. He's actually just trying to hear what he's saying, probably, above the tannoy. I expect it was noisy. But anyway, the winner this week is Tim Barlow, who put, "So you say those shoes cost $1,800?
That relates, by the way, to a news story we had last week of the new, are they called Law? Law shoes that are 3D printed to a scan of your foot, but will set you back $1,800.
Yeah. And not even going to space, are they?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Well done to Tim. Send us a message on Facebook with your address and we'll get a bottle out to you as soon as possible.
They are good bottles, these, aren't they? Like, as in, we've got to say. Like, they are good bottles, aren't they?
This week's photo comes from the Tour de Suisse and it's Adam Yates en route to one of his two-stage victories. I will get you started. I should probably describe it for podcast listeners.
Yep.
He's very high up in terms of elevation. There's snow on the side of the road and cobbles beneath his wheels.
You paint quite the picture there, mate.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, that was really emotive.
I will get you started. Cobbles on mountains? Snow joke.
Brilliant.
Well, not really.
That's a classic. Can you remember what climb that is?
No.
There's one or two mountains over there with cobbles on, aren't there?
Switzerland. Yes. I didn't watch the Tour de Suisse as closely as the Criterium du Dauphiné last week.
You were too busy making a charging station for your bike, weren't you?
I was just stood at the edge of my garage looking and thinking, I don't know where to start.
If only I had a clean garage, then I could make my charging station and wax a couple of chains. Yeah. No, I think that's a banger of an image, that, isn't it? I like that very much. See what you can do, folks. Get involved and we will pick the best caption out next week.
We will shortly let you know what we've got coming up on the GCN YouTube channel over the coming week. But first up, some comments from the last week's worth of video, starting underneath last week's show. Aussie Stu wrote in saying, Leo Wilcox's around the world attempt is cheating.
What?
I know. Crikey. She's riding from the northern hemisphere to the southern, so downhill the whole way.
Ah, see what you did there, Aussie Stu. The issue, though, is that she then has to go back up from New Zealand to Alaska. That's a big old climb, isn't it?
No wonder she's been doing so well on her daily average distance thus far.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that is... so don't worry, Aussie Stu. She's within the record. It sparked quite an argument, that comment, I saw. I think someone took him literally. Anyway, there we go. Next one. Esox Cycle says, granddad jokes are better than dad jokes. They've had time to mature. Boom.
That's a proper dad joke right there.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Isn't it?
Underneath, can we hold Tour de France pace? Roger Simmons wrote, I was slightly disappointed to see Hank reading the instructions when assembling the Zwift bike. Does he have no pride? Whilst Adam Webb put, LMAO. Laugh my arse off at Blake's 49 seconds in. Oh, cool. What does that mean?
I did chuckle as well. Good effort from Blake. He beat Hank's time 2.5 times over. So there you go. He could have been a pro roadie, clearly. Underneath, does crank length matter? This was Connor's video from Friday, which is amusing little investigation into crank length. Adam Wallace said, I was asking my wife if she thought crank length or technique was more important. She muttered something about girth. I'm not sure we're on the same page. Someone had to go there, didn't they, Adam? Someone went there.
Yeah. Enraged Mollusk, but you've got a 7-foot guy to test short crank lengths. It's a good point.
It is a good point. Well, we felt like that would, take things to extremes. If you've got a 145mm long crank, to make it really extreme, you give it to a dude that's over 2 metres tall.
We get Giants to test out the world's lightest bike next.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
How fast is an old Tour de France pro with modern kit? This being David Miller at his old Evening 10 time trial. Balsamthir wrote, the interview of David sitting on the back bumper of the car drinking tea was sweet and heartwarming.
It was like every good cup of tea, isn't it?
Yeah, very true. I don't know if he had sugar, but what struck a number of people in the comments was that was David's first cup of tea in over 10 years.
Did he explain why he hadn't had a cup of tea in 10 years?
I guess he just drinks coffee, but you'd imagine to not have one in 10 years that you hate tea.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't, not at least not when it's free.
Well, maybe it was because he lives in Girona, and actually this was back in the heartland of, you know, English tea.
Also, certainly back in the day, but it was a safer bet asking for a tea, wasn't it? You could get some pretty bad coffee sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a window cleaner,
where's this going to go?
When I was a window cleaner, if any of the lovely customers asked if we'd like a hot drink, and I said yes, and they said, you want tea or coffee? I'd always go for tea, because some of the instant coffee, my word, so weak, horrible.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was harder for people to get wrong.
Yeah.
I felt. So, I'm only, you know, speculating, but I think that might be why I went for tea.
This is amazing. Well, hopefully we can explore this more. And now we're liberated to be creative and get back to basics.
We have been prevented from doing window cleaning due to health and safety for a long time now.
Oh, that's amazing. Right, okay. Yeah, moving on. Firasmorph? Sorry, hang on a minute. Firamaru F? This is like an anagram.
Yeah.
Any luck, mate?
We had any audience left. They've gone now.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
It doesn't really matter how you pronounce it when no one's left watching.
Yeah. Firasmaru.
Yep, go with that.
Yeah, so I'm so sorry. Anyway, please more David Miller content. He's well-spoken, genuine, and has a statesman-like quality. I want to see more of him on GCN. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Well, like, now he's riding bikes and into it again. We should totally do that.
Yeah, next time we're out near to him. He's in Girona still, isn't he?
I believe he is, yeah.
See if we can figure out a couple of bits to do together. What was most annoying, I didn't mention this in the video, but his 370 watts for 20 minutes is only about 20 watts below when I was a full-time pro. Yeah, he just started training again. He's
on a TT bike as well.
Yeah,
that is quite annoying, isn't it?
Under I copied Wout van Aert's training, and this is what happened. Frank Doctor wrote, I think Hank forgot what it was like to be a pro. He only mentioned it 10 times so far.
Yeah. Adam Vass said, new GCN t-shirt coming. I used to be a pro. Actually, there'll be two new t-shirts. I used to be a pro, and I used to be a window cleaner as well.
Yeah. The things I saw window cleaning.
Oh, mate.
Just before we get on to what's coming up, actually, would you like to explain your black eye to the viewers?
Well, I suppose I better had a night. Unfortunately, it was basically self-inflicted.
It was a cycling-related incident, wasn't it?
It was indeed. So I needed to remove a set of pedals from one of my bikes. My bikes were hanging up, and they were locked together, and I did not have the keys with me.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't be bothered to run and get my keys, which were a flight of stairs away.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'd just remove my pedals in situ. So I reached over behind my bike to remove the drive side pedal. And as we all know, when removing pedals, they can get a bit stuck. Yeah. And the pedal spanner, or the Allen key in this case, always goes with a massive jerk, doesn't it? Which is exactly what I did in this case. And with it, my whole body went forward and I headbutted my bike very, very hard. The other pedal that I hadn't removed yet poked me in the eye. If you watch this Sunday's video, you will see the aftermath as it happened, basically, because the swelling on my eyebrow got bigger and bigger and bigger over the course of the day. So, I mean, thank goodness I have big sunglasses, because they hid most of it for most of the day.
Shame you didn't have them on at the time, wasn't it?
Well, really? Yeah, true that. Anyway, yeah, so be careful, folks, when you're removing pedals. That was the first time I've poked myself in the eye from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there will have had injuries from removing pedals, but I'm not sure how many black eyes there have been from removing pedals.
Oh my God, I'm so annoyed with myself. So annoyed.
Oh, that's the worst thing, isn't it? It's just how stupid was that as opposed to the pain?
Yeah, I could have unlocked my bike very easily. Mm-hmm. But no, I just decided to inflict a black eye on myself.
Yeah, very good. Well, so, good yeah. to see, mate.
Thank you.
Right, on to what's coming up on the channel this week. Starting on Wednesday is how to safely remove your pedals with side whips. Yeah. No, that'll be coming up very soon. Six things I learned from Si at the Gravel World Championship. Oh, it's Gravel World Series.
Gravel World Series,
not
yeah.
there yet.
No, not yet.
Thursday, new bike alerts. Woo-hoo! Actually reveal what the bike is or even the brand right now.
Shh.
But stay tuned for that on Thursday and all will be revealed.
Yeah, on Friday, Dan, what is it?
All will be revealed.
Hopefully not. Keep your T-shirt on.
Yes, it is my episode 3 of my journey to health and fitness. I'm going to be focusing on the importance, especially as you get to my age and older, of increasing strength predominantly, but also to a degree, trying to put on some muscle mass in your later years. So you've got stuff to lose, basically, as you get older over time.
Have you managed to put on any muscle mass on your legs? Because they've always been on the slender side.
Yeah, they have, yes. I've been working my ankles.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. Well, if you need any tips, got that nailed.
Hard to know. I mean, I'm the same weight as when I started this journey, which was the idea. I didn't want to lose weight. But I'm hoping, obviously, that the weight distribution has changed more over towards muscle and slightly less fat than I had before. But I won't find out until the very last episode in November. And I have the DEXA scan redone, exactly what the body composition is. But as I've been training almost every day, I would hope there's been some signs of an improvement in the right direction.
I can't wait. I'm actually looking forward to November for that reason.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much else to look forward to in November, I don't think.
No, true.
Onset of winter. We haven't had summer yet, have we, here in the UK? But that's another story.
Coming this week, though?
Supposedly. Right then. God, we're still going. Saturday. This is cool. So Ollie was out getting a bit of a sneak peek at the Visma altitude training camp, and he collared Matteo Jorgensen fresh from his Dauphiné, and he basically got one of his hardest training sessions off him and tried to copy him. So out in the Alps, Ollie versus Matteo Jorgensen and his training session.
Sunday.
Sunday is $150 versus $1,500 versus $15,000 bike. So, it was that's me with my black eye, basically. But super interesting. Super interesting.
I look forward to watching. Do you know what? I think we're going to read a lot in the comments is I would like shorter, more concise videos.
Well,
especially for the GCN show.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to argue it, because no one's going to have got this far.
Well, no.
So there you go.
Yeah, there'll be one comment, and that'll be from Isaac, who edits this video.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, no, please do keep those comments coming in, not just about the length of the GCN show, but yeah, everything. And as we said as well, we do really value your support, don't we?
Yeah, we do indeed. So thank you for those of you who've been supporting us up to this point. Hopefully that will continue onwards. But yeah, we would love your feedback as to what you would like to see going forwards.